The following is an AUFans.com production.
It's a new day, Auburn fans!
Steps up, in trouble, he's on the run, hit as he throws, incomplete! Tigers win! Tigers win!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. I mean, expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis. Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. Unbelievable fashion you will ever see. I cannot believe it. And we thought a miracle at Jordan-Hare was amazing. Never in all my days have I seen anything like that.
Do you say this is the most epic Iron Bowl in history?
War Eagle, everyone, and welcome to the AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. What a call by Rod Bramlett to end possibly the greatest Auburn-Alabama game of all time. What an unbelievable ball game. Of course, by now, every Auburn fan has heard that call that was made at the end by Rod Bramlett, but this was a game that was just filled with big plays, excitement, an Auburn crowd that was unbelievable from start to finish, and all of it against our arch rival, the previously number one rated Alabama Crimson Tide. With the victory, Auburn ran its 2013 football record to 11-1, winning the Western Division title in the SEC by virtue of the tiebreaker head-to-head beating Alabama, and earning a spot in the 2013 Southeastern Conference Championship in Atlanta against the Missouri Tigers. What can you say about the Alabama-Auburn game this year? I mean, I'm not sure there's ever been one that's been more hyped. Of course, as we said in last week's show, it was number one Alabama versus number four Auburn, the highest rated teams in this game ever. The first time that these two had ever played, with the winner advancing to Atlanta in the SEC championship, national championship implications certainly for Alabama if they had beaten us. And if they would have gone to the SEC championship game and won, then they certainly would be in Pasadena playing for the national title. As it stands right now, Auburn is third in the BCS. And realistically, folks, it's going to take probably a Ohio State or a Florida State loss and an Auburn win to get us in the title game. But we'll talk about that more later. A lot to talk about in the Alabama-Auburn game. We could pretty much skip to the last 3 minutes of the game, and that would probably be enough football talk right there to cover what really happened in this game. But the game started out, Auburn started out pretty fast. Nick Marshall went 45 yards on a keeper play to put Auburn up 7-0. Of course, that was one of my keys to victory. was that Auburn needed to come out fast or certainly stay in the game, keep the crowd in it. And early on, and in fact, after the first quarter, Auburn led 7-0. And you could tell early on Auburn was going to be able to run the football. Alabama was only giving up, was giving up less than 100 yards a game. And, of course, Auburn finished the game right under 300 yards rushing. Of course, the second quarter, the Crimson Tide, like the champions that they have been, came out and they had been dominating the second quarter all season. And against Auburn, it was no different. And they scored 3 unanswered touchdowns to go up 21-7 right before the half. And, I mean, this was really crucial. I really believe Alabama taking a 21-7 lead in the halftime would have been really, really tough to beat. This is a better Alabama team than the one even in 2010 that we beat, even though that one was in Tuscaloosa. Still, that's the greatest comeback in Auburn history, without question, to come back on a Nick Saban team like we did over there. But down 21-7, Auburn drove the ball down and scored right before the half to cut the lead to 21-7 and carried significant momentum into the locker room. Of course, they come back out. They took the second half kick and drove it down and tied the game up. And clearly the momentum had shifted, and Auburn had shown something right here that nobody else had done all season and really for a while against Alabama. Alabama gets up on folks, a couple of touchdowns, it's generally lights out. And this Auburn team has just refused to quit, kept taking it to the Tide on the ground. Trey Mason had another big day as well, and we tie the game up. Of course, the kicking game would obviously maybe be the difference, probably in fact was the difference in this game from a couple of standpoints. First of all, Stephen Clark had the punting game of his life, even though Auburn couldn't take advantage of it. Stephen Clark twice, back-to-back, put punts out at the Alabama 1-yard line. And both times, Alabama came off the goal line with long passes. The first one, we actually stopped Amari Cooper at about midfield, and I think they ended up going down and one of their many misses on the field goals. But then the next time, again, Stephen Clark, we stopped the ball at the 1-yard line, and we allowed A.J. McCarron to have a 99-yard touchdown play, which just it was almost a backbreaker. But on the flip side, the kicking game really did determine this game, as Alabama's place kicker, Cade Foster, had a really bad day. He missed 2 field goals, really, really bad. I mean, one was just wide, wide right, but he pulled the other one, hooked it. And then I think because of those misses, late in the game, with really the game on the line just a few minutes to go in the game, Coach Saban decided to go for it on 4th-and-1, well in field goal range and really right in front of the goalposts. But I think he even indicated that he had been influenced by the earlier misses. And they went for it, and Carl Lawson came off the corner and stuffed and stopped T.J. Yeldon for no gain, and Auburn took the ball over. But Auburn drove out maybe one first down, and then they got stopped on 4th down and again gave Alabama the ball on our end of the field, where after stopping Alabama again, another Cade Foster kick this time was blocked. And that would have probably, again, been the game winner, because that kick was blocked with 2:32 to go in the game. And somewhat lost in all the euphoria of the very last play of the game was probably the biggest drive of and we've had a bunch of big drives this season. But Nick Marshall drove us down, and with 32 seconds, ran it appeared that he was going to run a keeper, pulled up and hit a wide open Sammy Coates for a 39-yard touchdown and tied the game up again with 32 seconds. And honestly, folks, not many teams in this country over the last few years that found themselves basically on the Alabama 40-yard line with under a minute to play drives it down even for a field goal, much less a tying touchdown. So another just incredible clutch drive by Nick Marshall and the whole offense. And, of course, what can you say about the end of the game that hadn't already been said on every sports center, every newscast? The outpouring over that last play has just been overwhelming, and it's been from everybody that, you know, they're calling it the greatest ending of a football game ever, or maybe a sporting event ever. Some of that will probably fade over time, but it certainly was the biggest play that I've ever seen, and certainly in the Iron Bowl. Now, I want to tell you what happened on that last play. Do you have another second? Oh, I'm sorry. you can't resist the second jokes are going to probably be going on at least the rest of my life. Of course, Alabama drives it down there. The T.J. Yeldon runs the ball. It appears that time has expired. They go back. They look at it. They look at it some more. Saban, you know, has lobbied to, let's take a look at that. And they finally determine that, you know, Yeldon's foot touched out of bounds. It showed a second on the clock, and it was probably even under a second. But Alabama lines up for a 57-yard field goal. Honestly, folks, with the amount of adrenaline I thought this kid would have, he was kicking with the north wind at his – what wind there was at his back. I really thought he was going to kick it far enough. I just hope that with that distance, you know, he would either push it or hook it, and, you know, it wouldn't go through the middle of the uprights. Of course, it was short by a couple yards. Chris Davis fielded it just like a kickoff. And for those that don't know, I mean, you can return any kick like that. And so, you know, he went down the Auburn sideline. And, I mean, you heard Rod Bramlett's call. I mean, it's just the most unlikely play that you would ever see. I think I read that it possibly was the first time that a football game, a FBS, you know, a Division I game, had ever ended, the actual game ended on a missed field goal return for a touchdown. So, what does it all mean? I mean, to beat your arch rival, the Alabama Crimson Tide, a team that had not lost this year. It hasn't lost. I think that was the third loss by A.J. McCarron and his first loss ever on the road. I mean, I could talk about this all night, the significance. I mean, now Gus Malzahn's 1-0 against Coach Saban in Alabama. You know, there's statistics that Coach Saban has never beaten Auburn when Auburn had at least 9 wins. And on and on and on it goes. I mean, again, certainly one of the top 2 or 3 greatest wins in my life, up there with Punt Bama Punt and Bow Over the Top. Certainly the Cam back in 2010. So just incredible. And then, like you say, the tough part is getting ready for Missouri. I thought, what kind of job will Coach Malzahn and his staff have to do this week to get ready for the Missouri Tigers, who at 11-1 and ranked 5th is having a magical year of their own. And they've not lost a game in regulation. They got South Carolina, beat them in overtime in Columbia in a game that was just incredibly bizarre in its own way. But so let's talk a little bit about, the SEC championship this Saturday. Again, the Missouri Tigers are coached by Gary Pinkel. He's been there for several years. as you look at Auburn and Missouri, there is, let's see, one, two, three, four. There, we had five common opponents. Five common opponents. We both played Arkansas State, Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. And the scores are similar. Missouri beat Arkansas State 41-19. We beat them 38-9. They beat Georgia over there. Now, Georgia was a little more beat up in that particular game. They had not gotten back any of the players, several of them that they played against Auburn, but it was in Athens. Missouri 41, Georgia 26. Of course, we won the epic 43-38 on the miracle at Jordan-Hare. Missouri had Tennessee at home after Tennessee was coming off the Alabama loss and beat Tennessee 31-3. Of course, you know, we handled Tennessee 55-23 in Knoxville. The last two wins, probably maybe two of the more impressive wins for Missouri. They went to Ole Miss and beat the Rebels 24-10. And then last week, Missouri beat Texas A&M 28-21. We beat Ole Miss 30-22. And, of course, in the epic, probably maybe the game of the year before the Alabama game was the 45-41 win over Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M. So, and let's look statistically, and these teams are really even matched. And when you look at total offense, Missouri's 17th in the country in total offense, Auburn 15th. There's about 3 yards difference in total offense. Rushing offense, we're the fifth rated offense, and we're only about 5 yards a game from being the number one rushing offense in the country. Missouri's number 18 at a respectable 236 yards. We rush for a little over 318 yards a game. Passing offense, that's where it's a big difference. Missouri's a 42nd passing offense at throwing a little over 252 yards a game. Auburn is down at 105th at 172. I still think that at some point we're going to have to throw the ball better than we have, even though, again, total offense, until somebody probably stops the running game, though, we're still not going to know what we, you know, what we got to do in passing. On the defensive side, Missouri is a respectable 52nd in total defense. Auburn is 75th. But again, it's the red zone defense that makes Auburn makes up that, and I'll give you those numbers in a second. Rushing defense, Missouri's 14th, only giving up 119 a game. This, again, is going to be a key element of the game Saturday. Can Auburn continue to run the football like they've been doing, like they even did against Alabama? Passing defense, Missouri's pass defense is 110th. Of course, Auburn's is 100th. So it would appear that both teams might want to go to the air Saturday and take advantage of possibly a little bit weaker secondary play. But the in scoring defense, though, both respectable. Of course, Missouri's actually 19.4 points a game, which is 14th. Auburn's only given up about three more points, but that difference makes them the 31st scoring defense, which I'm not worried about that. Auburn's given up 22.5 to Missouri's 19, so that's almost even. The red zone defense, though, Auburn needs to continue to do this. Auburn is the rated number eight in the country in red zone defense, and that's why Auburn has won the games they have, even though they've given up a lot of yardage. In the red zone, they continue, and just like against Alabama, of course, you know, Alabama missed the field goals. We stopped them on fourth down, so there was four or five opportunities where Alabama may have not technically been in the red zone on some of them, but were certainly down on Auburn's end of the field. Who are some of the players, the big players Auburn's going to need to stop Saturday? Of course, it starts with their starting senior quarterback, James Franklin. He's about 6'3", 230, big, strong guy. And, of course, their backup, Maddie Mock, is really a good backup. But I think as James Franklin goes, so go the Missouri Tigers. So containing Franklin and limiting his success Saturday is going to be big if we want to win that game. course, he's got two huge targets to throw to. He's got more than two, but the two main ones, LaDainian Washington is 6'4" and over 200 pounds. And then Green Beckham, his last name is Green Beckham, hyphenated name. He's 6'6" and 225 to 230. I mean, he's a huge receiver. That presents some serious matchup issues for Jonathan Mincy and Chris Davis, our two cornerbacks. Height is not everything. It comes into play a lot more around the goal line when, you know, the offenses try to run the little fade jump routes where, you know, they'll just send a receiver and almost a jump ball situation. But it's more that the size, these guys are big targets and they're big physical receivers. Of course, they've got two quality running backs, Henry Josie and Russell Hansbro. Both are small backs, but very strong, very quick, and on the turf, you know, in the Georgia Dome, we really got to find a way to contain them and not give up the big plays. Defensively, again, Missouri is a very veteran team. They're a little undersized. Their two defensive ends, the big defensive end, Michael Sam, has got, I don't know, he's over 10 sacks this year. I think he leads the SEC in sacks, and Ely on the other end. But their defense, again, a lot of starters back, and they're a very quick, aggressive defense, if not super big. Auburn's going to need to control the line of scrimmage. Auburn's offensive line is going to be a key. You know, they're going to have to dominate up front, get the continued push. And honestly, you have to believe if Auburn is ready to go, and it's going to be tough. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Auburn, you know, it was sometime in the second quarter before it really kicked in. I mean, Saturday's game against Alabama was draining emotionally and physically. I mean, you go up against Alabama and you're going to take a physical beating. And then, it's, of course, the way the game ended, I mean, Coach Malzahn's got a chance to do his best coaching job and his staff getting these guys ready. Even though it is the SEC championship, nothing gets much bigger than that game Saturday against Alabama. So, I mean, there's just so much. I mean, this season, again, will rank up there with one of the most incredible years in Auburn history, regardless of what happens Saturday. But if Auburn can go out and somehow continue the good play and win the Southeastern Conference, of course, they've already tied the SEC record with turnaround, going from 3-9 now to 11 wins. A win Saturday would, I think, maybe even tie the NCAA record. So, you know, you're playing with a possibility. Auburn's game's at 3 o'clock. The two big games, and we're going to talk about coming up, will be that go on a little bit after Auburn's game, is the Big Ten Championship between Michigan State and Ohio State, and then the ACC title game between Duke and Florida State. Now, folks, the BCS possibilities are, they may not be endless, but a lot of interesting things could happen. Most people think, and Florida State is a 29-point favorite, even though tomorrow it's going to be announced, I think, the fate of Jameis Winston, or at least if the DA's office is going to go forward with the prosecution against him, the possible prosecution. If for some reason Winston is not eligible Saturday, that could change the complexion of that game. Although, I got to tell you, Florida State's defense is really good. And even with a backup quarterback, I would still like Florida State's chances to beat Duke. It certainly would hamper them, and it would certainly probably hinder their national championship hopes to lose a player as good as Jameis Winston is. The more likely scenario, I think, to help Auburn is Michigan State to upset second-ranked Ohio State. Michigan State's got the number one defense in the country statistically. Honestly, Ohio State, I think they've got a good football team. They have not played the schedule of Auburn or Missouri. But unfortunately, a one-loss SEC team is probably not going to be able to jump Ohio State. I've seen the numbers from Brad Edwards. He's the ESPN BCS expert. And it would take an incredible number of people in the human polls to vote for Auburn that have not voted for Auburn, that didn't vote for Auburn even after Auburn's win against Alabama, you know, over Ohio State, to probably make up the difference. There's just not going to be enough difference in all likelihood with the computer poll. But again, I'm going to go with Auburn, and to back up just a minute, I'm going to go with Auburn 38, Missouri 31 in one of the exciting SEC championship games of all time. And, you know, I'm really torn on this because I could see Auburn struggling out of the gate. But I think if Auburn's going to win, they're going to have to put up some serious points. And we're going to stick with 38-31. And later that night, I believe Michigan State is going to upset Ohio State. And in the BCS championship game in Pasadena, the Florida State Seminoles will be playing the Auburn Tigers for the 2013 national championship, the final BCS championship until we go next year to the four-team playoff. Well, it's that time again to talk to an Auburn graduate, and you know, I think it's fitting this week that we, with the season having ended, the regular season, now we're in postseason play, where we're going to welcome back to the show our very first guest all the way from down under, Australia. Welcome back, Ethan Harris. Ethan, how in the world are you?
I am doing super. Herb Stanley, glad to be back on your show. I've been listening all season, and I'm just astounded you found so many Auburn graduates from around the world. We really are an interesting bunch, and sounded to me like everyone is on board with the Tigers.
I guess the Gus bus is pretty full, Ethan. Have you been riding it all season?
Most definitely, I am on the Gus bus, and it's been a wild ride, mate. After we talked before, I've been listening to that interview. It was pretty mean. But anyway, I made sure to listen to every game, and wow, just wow. I'm so on the Gus bus. I think the guy is just amazing. He gets talked about all the time down under.
Ah, is that right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I found myself looking into where he came from and some of the details about how he came to Auburn. I stay pretty busy, so, you know, I do what I can.
Well, what you been doing with yourself, Ethan? You been in that outback, that backwoods, that heavy brush country? What have you been doing with yourself, man?
Well, I stay pretty busy on my ranch. Now, I work in Sydney, and I live out away from the city on a fair amount of acreage, so I'm taking care of a pretty large array of animals, and yeah, out in the bush we work pretty hard, my oldies and me, and of course there's always time for me to take in an Auburn game on the weekend, whether I'm just listening on the internet channel or catching it on the line. I mean, I guess you call it the cable. I watch sometimes on the cable. Yeah.
So what do you think about this team? You've been following this. What do you think? What's some of your thoughts?
Oh yeah, I'm following closely, and basically I'm just blown away. I'm honestly just out of words when those amazing plays happen, and the momentum just kind of swings our way. There haven't been many plain old football games in this season for Auburn, and they've mostly been just unbelievable and exciting. I think they feed off that kind of energy or something, and Coach Malzahn seems to relish it too, from what I've heard. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets or has already been getting offers to come to some other schools to coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime, you know, Ethan, as you know, just like with anything else, if you have a successful coach, other programs are going to come after him. I think the big rumor this week is Texas is supposedly Gus's, you know, dream job. They asked him about that in a press conference today, Ethan, and he said, you know, what was his response to that? You know, that Texas, supposedly Texas is his dream job, and he said, you know, he loved being at Auburn.
You don't think a bigger payday will catch his call at a different school then? I mean, it worries me a bit because, well, I don't want anyone to lure the bloke away from us, you know what I mean?
That kind of stuff, though, I found, Ethan, you just can't worry about. I mean, Auburn's going to pay him extremely well. They're going to give him and his assistants everything they want. I mean, there's never been a bigger game and a bigger outpouring of support for him than this past weekend. So, yeah, you know, there's only so much you can do. Jay Jacobs, our athletic director, does a good job. Jay's taking some criticism, but he is great for Auburn. And, you know, he'll do the right thing. Ultimately, it comes down to where Gus and his family's going to be the happiest. And, you know, I'll be for Gus whatever he ends up doing. Hopefully he stays at Auburn the rest of his career.
Well, I second that. Yeah, sure. I hope he sticks around and keeps on doing whatever he did this season. I mean, for sure, the most exciting season is probably behind us because we've come back from that that kind of not-so-good season. But, you know, going from 3-9 to, what are we up to, 11-1? Yeah, just amazing results, and Malzahn has just done an amazing job with that. I guess he's going to have a lot of the same players coming back. Of course, they deserve a huge amount of credit, too, because it seems like they've put in an awful lot of work this season. I assume most of them will be coming back next season. I'm not sure who is where in their college careers and who might go on to the professional league.
We've got a lot of returning starters. Now, we've got some guys on offense. Trey Mason's a junior. Greg Robinson is an offensive tackle who's a redshirt sophomore. Those two guys may declare for the NFL. There's been some talk that they might be looking into, you know, going on. Jay Prosh, our great H-back, fullback, you know, a position, is a senior, and he will be sorely missed. Okay. Defensively, yeah. You know, D. Ford, Nosa Igwe, and Jake Holland, and then, of course, Chris Davis, who had that electrifying, you know, return of a lifetime. They're all seniors, along with Ryan White. And then, of course, let's not forget our two kickers, Ethan. They have, I mean, Stephen Clark and Cody Parkey have played like you would want seniors to play. Both of them have had all conference type years, and they will be missed.
Well, that'd be understandable. They are amazing players, sure. So who do you think would have been missed this season had they not been on the roster? Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, is there anyone that's so valuable to Auburn that they couldn't have pulled off this wonderful season if that particular person wasn't there? I hope that makes sense.
You know, Coach Malzahn preaches, and I really bought into it. It's all 11 guys. It's really more than that, but 11 at a time, of course. But, yeah. I mean, the offensive line, I think we were not rated that high going into the season. And if there's a better offensive line in the United States right now, I haven't seen them. To hang nearly 300 yards on Alabama is incredible. Nick Marshall, we wouldn't be 11-1. We wouldn't be going to Atlanta without Nick, Trey Mason, Sammy Coates, obviously Ricardo Lewis for maybe the greatest pass play in Auburn history.
Yeah.
And, you know, even CJ Usama has played, you know, had some huge – he had that huge touchdown catch that really got the whole, cardiac kids thing going against Mississippi State.
Right.
Defensively, D. Ford, I mean, and we will really miss D. D's had some unbelievable sacks and pressures this year. He will be missed. Robinson Therese has had an outstanding year, and he wasn't even penciled in, Ethan, to be the starter. Justin Garrett, who's going to, I still think, be a great player, who got injured right before the first game, and who's ultimately now going to be redshirted. You know, Therese stepped in that first game and got two interceptions that first night, so he had a great game. And again, Gabe Wright has come on here mid-season on at defensive tackle and had some serious impact. And then, you know, the secondary has played better, even though numbers-wise, you know, and we've had some big busted plays like the 99-yard play against Alabama Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was rather unfortunate, but it all turned out okay, I guess, especially considering that that Auburn proved what they can do with 1 second on the clock.
Yes. But anyway, Ethan, good to hear from you. Mate, I am so happy you're back on us. You started the winning, and hopefully we may have to talk to you again, especially if we make it to Pasadena. You may be a good luck alumnus.
Sure thing. I'm glad we had a chance to talk again, Stan. I doubt I had anything to do with the winning, but I tell you, it's great to be an Auburn Tiger.
War Eagle, hey.
War Eagle to you.
Well, that does it for this week, folks. If you can, I'm not, you know, of course it'll depend on how we do Saturday to whether we will have a show next, you know, immediately next week. You'll probably just have to stay tuned. Do yourself a favor and do us a favor. There at the website where you are now, go down there and find where and enter an email address where that when we do post something next, you'll get an email, you know, alerting you that something's been posted on the site. And again, I promise you, not going to send Keith or Jay out to you know, sell you any magazine subscriptions. Just put your email in there so we can, you know, contact you when there's some new content out there on the show. Well, it's been a great year. We'll have a wrap-up show, but I'm not exactly, again, when we will do that. We will probably, you know, talk about, this coming Saturday's championship game. And then, you know, depending on how things fall, we may have a lot of exciting things to talk about here in the next few weeks. Of course, recruiting is coming up in February. And so, you know, we'll talk about a lot of different things. But, again, folks, it's been great. I appreciate you joining us, you know, to this point. We're going to Atlanta Saturday to play for the Southeastern Conference Championship. It doesn't get much better for Auburn football fans than that. What a magical year it's been. So, you know, listen out. Maybe join us again next week. But, again, put your email addresses in there, and you'll know when we go back on air. And, you know, War Eagle, everybody. And let's go and let's beat Missouri and win that Southeastern Conference Championship.
This has been an AU Fans Podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com.
This time it'll be Marshall on the keeper. And then he throws. Oh, he's got cuts at the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Razzle dazzle from Gus Malzahn on. He had Uzama and nobody around him. 39 yards. I don't believe it. I do not believe it.
Thank you for listening.